Here it is.
From deep inside your radio.
Well, it is. Oh, that was me. That was me. I faded down. And probably just a good impulse on my part because, ladies and gentlemen, if I wanted to bore you, and you know I do, I'm yearning to, I'm aching to bore you just by stretching out this introductory sentence, you can tell. If I wanted to bore you, I would regale you with the details of the adventures I've been on in the last couple weeks, both in this country and in the United Kingdom. Suffice to say that, you know, I thought I had a perfectly dark view of human nature, really sufficiently dark. And then when you're sitting right next to a distinguished news anchor, not in this country, who is, after his interview, his grueling interview with a major political figure, who is now sitting across the cafeteria table from him, when you see the anchor start to give the politician media advice about his next appearance later that afternoon. That's a wake-up call. That's a fresh cup of coffee in the morning, isn't it? And then there's the NPR ombudsman. You may have been seeing this on the internet. Not going to say too much about it, except that when you ignore documentation and just try to frame everything as, well, on the one hand this and on the other hand that, you're not exactly going to have your next job be an inspector general. Let's put it that way. Anyway, the movie in question, The Big Uneasy, those who have seen it and those who've actually reviewed it seem to feel that there's something newsworthy in it, at least. Folks in New Orleans sure do. And if you'd like to find out for yourself, it is returning to screens in Los Angeles and New York City this coming Friday for a week. So if you want to see it, there it is. If you don't want to see it, there'll be plenty of time to do that afterwards. The latest gentleman, never too late department, the NATO command, has issued new guidelines for awarding billions of dollars worth of international contracts in Afghanistan. They say that without proper oversight, the money could end up in the hands of insurgents and criminals, deepen corruption, and undermine efforts to win the loyalty of the Afghan people. The guidance was issued last week by General Petraeus. It was issued in response to concern that the military's own contracting procedures could be, in some cases, running counter to efforts on the battlefield. What year is this of the war? Nine. The changes are aimed at addressing complaints that ordinary Afghans have seen little change in their daily lives, despite billions poured into their country since 2001. Precise figures on the amount of money paid to contractors are unavailable, though most estimates put the figure at about $14 billion a year. Well, that's what the Corps of Engineers is spending for the new improved Yes, it is. So we don't care how we spend our $14 billion, apparently. President Karzai has long criticized the international contracting process, saying that war-weary Afghans have not reaped the full benefits because so much of the money goes to high-priced contractors, subcontractors, and power brokers. Afghans also complain that too many contracts are awarded to the same contractors. Well, they're getting hip. They're learning the American way, at least. See? If we can't bring democracy, at least we can bring American contracting practices to Afghanistan. That's... Now, two buried leads in the same story. I think that's a first. I think that's the first time I've ever seen that. It's from the Washington Post. Saturday's Washington Post. And here's the lead, the actual lead. Despite discouraging news from Afghanistan and growing doubts in Congress and among the American public, the Obama administration has concluded that its war strategy is sound and that a December review, once seen as a pivotal moment, is unlikely to yield any major changes. Well, all right, that's they're kind of digging themselves in. That's not a hole we're digging. But now, here's possible buried lead number one, way down in the story. At a Monday meeting with his senior national security advisors, Obama displayed, quote, particularly acute impatience at really astounding, unquote, casualty figures that are far higher than what was anticipated at the beginning of the year, said a senior official.
Huh.
But, you know, we'll just keep on going because it's so, looking so bad. And the other buried lead comes at the very end of the story from quoting a European official, which explains the first sentence in the story. But you have to go all the way down to the end to read this. Quote, the administration adamantly does not want to use the December review as a great big rescrub. They want it to be a validation of the strategy and how it's being implemented.
Oh, God.
Unquote. Almost as if it was political. Hello, welcome to the show. from Le Show World Headquarters. Think of it. From the home of the homeless, from the edge of America, I'm Harry Shearer, welcoming you to this edition of Le Show. And now, news of the Olympic movement. This will make you folks in London happy. Well, you're happy anyway. The London Olympics will damage tourism to Britain by deterring normal visitors, according to the European Tour Operators Association. Preparation for the 2012 Olympics is already distorting the market for hotel rooms in London, according to the ETOA, which describes official expectations of visitor numbers as exaggerated. ETOA will publish research on the effects of previous Olympic Games on host cities, providing evidence that the Games are, quote, profoundly disruptive. The association will warn, quote, normal tourist businesses suffer during the Games period. The region around the Games can suffer more than the host city. The impression that everything will be overcrowded and overpriced blights a region. And these difficulties are exacerbated by exaggerated claims of the benefits derived from the Games. The National Tourism Agency Visit Britain now warns that foreign visitor numbers are likely to fall in 2012. It says overseas holidaymakers, vacationers, you and me, were likely to be put off by higher than normal prices and fears of overcrowding. Britain drew 28 million overseas tourists last year. It forecasts 320,000 visitors will attend the Games. But imagine how much will be spent to draw them. Oh, don't imagine at all. Just look it up. The Olympics. It's a movement. And we all need one. Every day. I can't wait for the trumpets to start again. Ladies and gentlemen, you trumpets, take a long five. The United States Army Corps of Engineers, I mentioned them earlier, I'm mentioning them again. See how it goes? A government contractor is not immune from claims that it performed shoddy work. Oh, this is another buried lead, by the way. Leading off our section on the Army Corps of Engineers with a buried lead. Three in one show. Wow. A government contractor is not immune from claims that it performed shoddy work that resulted in the failure of the New Orleans levee system in 2005, according to a new ruling from a federal appeals court. The Fifth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeal revives claims against Washington Group International over industrial canal levee breaches that flooded the city's lower Ninth Ward during the 2005 event. Plaintiffs' lawyers claim the firm employed excavation and backfilling methods that undermined the integrity of the levees. A three-judge panel of the Fifth Circuit said the company isn't entitled to government contractor immunity from liability because it exercised significant discretion over its work without precise specifications from the Corps. But let's get to the buried lead, which puts that into a slightly greater detail, if you will. Uh-oh. Eesh. That's a news person's cliche, if ever there was one, if you will. Yeah, I would. I would. I am. The Fifth Circuit, here's the very lead, way at the bottom of the story. The Fifth Circuit said the Corps of Engineers provided the contracting company with, quote, imprecise and at times non-existent, unquote, specifications for what kind of backfill material to use, quote, significantly. This is the court speaking. The evidence in the record shows that the sole consideration for the Corps of Engineers in evaluating the backfill was the cost of the material. Unquote. But wait, there's more. Louisiana officials in the Army Corps of Engineers disagree now over whether there's enough money left to properly complete construction of the new levee system. The Corps, according to state official Garrett Graves, the Corps will be as much as $1 billion short. A senior Corps official said the agency has enough money on hand if it is allowed to shift expected surplus funds from projects on one side of the Mississippi River to the other. Hey, it's just a river. This is a long-simmering argument over the last construction task, deciding what type of armoring will keep the levees from washing away if they're overtopped. Leave that to last? I think so. Don't you? Priorities? The state believes more sturdy armoring methods should be used to assure there is no repeat of what happened in 2005. The state official Garrett Graves said the state is concerned that the Corps will conclude that growing special species of grass on the levees will guarantee the levees won't erode if they're overtopped by surges created by large storms. Mike Park, deputy director of the Corps' Task Force Hope, in charge of building the levees, says the Corps is studying a variety of armoring materials, including grasses. The study, which won't be complete until January, by the way, the deadline for completion of the whole project is June. The study seeks to determine which materials will assure that the levees don't erode. The Corps expects to save enough money on construction costs for the remaining work necessary to provide the protection it says it will to pay for whatever armoring method is chosen, says Park. He says while the Corps could unilaterally move the money from one project to another after informing the Congress, standard practice is to get the state to agree. Try Armorall. I hear it works. In the latest round of the bitterly contested deepening of the Delaware... See, it's not just New Orleans now. In the latest round of the bitterly contested deepening of the Delaware River shipping channel, New Jersey and environmental groups have blasted the Army Corps of Engineers for pumping sediments from the project into an area that, after a levee broke, they call it a dike, I guess it's a dike, caused a discharge into New Jersey wetlands and waters. Under order of a federal judge, the dredge material was to be taken to the Army Corps' disposal facility, which technically lies in Delaware, but due to a border quirk, the land is on the New Jersey side of the river. The Corps estimated 2.5 million cubic yards of dredge would be scooped for the deepening of the Delaware River, which itself is controversial. But an additional 1 million cubic yards, not anticipated, led the contractor to use a third unapproved area, which, after a dike was constructed to ensure the runoff would empty into the Delaware side, the dike failed and the water runoff spilled into New Jersey territory. The Corps monitored water quality since the deepening began, said it did not find elevated contaminants from the dumping by its contractor. Well, I trust them, don't you? The dredging contractor has stopped pumping the sediment and will now use one of the approved dumping areas, says the Corps. The latest development was seized by New Jersey and environmental groups that have lawsuits pending against the deepening. Good luck with that. They're doing it. The Corps of Engineers, ladies and gentlemen, you're paying for them. You're getting your money's worth, aren't you? Seems like it to me. And now, ladies and gentlemen, news from outside the bubble. It was just a pause. Don't be alarmed. From the British newspaper The Telegraph, Britain is facing a wave of terrorist attacks on two fronts from a new generation of Al-Qaeda extremists, as well as Irish Republican militants. This is according to the head of MI5, which is their domestic intelligence agency, Jonathan Evans. In his first public speech on the national security threat for 3 years, he says his officers are engaged in an intense struggle against Muslim radicals. It is only a matter of time, he says, before Britain is the victim of an attack from extremists based in Somalia. Well, that's a good reason to have troops in Afghanistan, isn't it? He tells, and now please listen carefully to the name of this organization, because I'm not making it up. Evans tells the Worshipful Company of Security Professionals that every day hundreds of officers were fighting an intense struggle, that's why I love Britain, to identify and investigate terrorists. The percentage of priority plots linked to Al-Qaeda in the tribal areas of Pakistan has dropped from 75% 2 years ago to 50% now. The threat has increased from Somalia and Yemen. See how they do? They move. Evan says a significant number of British residents are training in camps run by the Al-Qaeda-linked group Al-Shabaab. That would be in Somalia. As many as 100 Britons of Pakistani, Bangladeshi, and West African backgrounds have traveled to Somalia. The country shows many of the characteristics that made Afghanistan so dangerous as a seedbed for terrorism in the period before the fall of the Taliban. Evans continues, I am concerned that it is only a matter of time before we see terrorism on our streets inspired by those fighting alongside Al-Shabaab in Somalia. And because 15 of the 19 9/11 hijackers were from Saudi Arabia, this, also from the Telegraph. The Pentagon is proposing a $1.2 billion military aid package. Oh, sorry, that's not about Saudis yet. This is just about this, what it is. The Pentagon is proposing a $1.2 billion military aid package to Yemen for its battle against al-Qaeda, sparking a warning from U.S. government quarters that extra resources would be used in the country's civil wars. The U.S. State Department has reportedly raised concerns that with President Saleh facing rebellions in the north and south of the country, he could divert the additional weaponry, coast patrol boats, and aircraft from fighting terrorism to fighting to protect his government. The terror threat from Yemen has escalated in the past 18 months. It's the surge, with estimates that about 300 al-Qaeda members or cells are operating there. If we could only keep them from moving. See, that's... Do we have called general... The gravity of the situation has deepened after the failed Christmas Day attack on the flight heading for Detroit. David Benjamin, the State Department's counterterrorism coordinator, says the U.S. is placing unprecedented emphasis on Yemen, but stressed that the approach must combine military and civil aid. Shall we sing that all along with him? Christopher Bousek, a Yemen expert at the Carnegie Endowment, says if we just focus on the military and security for them to become more lethal, it's not going to improve the country's security. It will only fuel recruitment and grievances. So Yemen. Yeah, man. And now, following up on my premature introduction of a moment ago, noting that 15 of the 19 9/11 hijackers were Saudis, this from The Age in Australia. President Obama is preparing to seek congressional approval for a huge arms sale to, yes, Saudi Arabia. There's your reward. No, it's a building block for Middle East regional defenses to box in Iran. The advanced jet fighters and helicopters for Saudi Arabia could become the largest arms deal in United States history. Congress has 30 days to consider the issue. For the largest arms deal in the history of the United States for the country that spawned 15 of the 19 9/11 hijackers. Ladies and gentlemen, news from outside the bubble. It is a copyrighted feature of this broadcast. This is Le Show. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the apologies of the week. First, an explanation of no apology. The day after the Roman Catholic Church in Belgium responded to its crisis over sexual abuse, a senior bishop said the church had not made a clear apology because it feared opening the door to a flood of claims for financial compensation. Archbishop André Joseph Leonard, the leader of Belgium's Roman Catholic Church, said revelations of the extent of the abuse had sent a shiver through the ranks of the church, but failed to offer a full apology to the victims. Question about that, Bishop Guy Apigny, who speaks for the Belgian bishops on abuse issues, said the church missed an opportunity. He said maybe the church was too concerned with itself. If we say mea culpa, then we are morally responsible, legally responsible, and then people come wanting money. That's why we're so careful. And now to the real apologies. Deadline Tokyo, Japan's foreign minister has apologized to former World War II prisoners of war who were visiting from the United States and says they were treated inhumanely. The six POWs and relatives of two who died were in Japan, the first group of U.S. POWs to visit with government sponsorship. The group's leader, 90-year-old Lester Tenney, said he welcomed the government's apology, but still seeks recognition from the private companies that used prisoners in their mines and factories, often under brutal conditions. Tenney survived the Bataan Death March in 1942. Sorry. Japanese apologies just keep on coming. The editor and publisher of the Portland Press Herald in Maine, on the other hand, has apologized to its readers in an open letter for what he said was a lack of sensitivity in running a front-page story last Saturday on the end of the Muslim holiday of Ramadan, without balancing it with a front-page story on the, quote, painful memories, unquote, of the 9/11 attacks. Quote, many saw Saturday's front-page story and photo regarding the local observance of the end of Ramadan as offensive, particularly on September 11th when our nation and the world were paying tribute to those who died in the terrorist attacks, Richard Connor wrote in the paper. We have acknowledged that we erred by at least not offering balance to the story and its prominent position on the front page. In hindsight, it is clear we should have handled this differently and with greater sensitivity toward the painful memories stirred by the anniversary of 9/11, he writes. Deadline United Nations, the most senior Chinese official at the UN made a personal apology to Secretary General Ban Ki-moon for an alcohol-fueled rant that the UN leader, Ban, revealed. Xia Zhukang, Undersecretary General for Economic and Social Affairs, erupted at a retreat for top UN officials last week when he told Ban, I know you never liked me, Mr. Secretary General. Well, I never liked you either. It's at the UN. Xia also told the dinner, I don't really like Americans, and that he had not wanted to move to New York. Xia has a record of outspoken comments, and officials who were at the dinner at an Austrian resort said he had been drinking before his speech. Quote, he apologized deeply in person right after the final day. Early in the morning, he regretted that his behavior was not appropriate as a senior advisor. He knows his behavior has embarrassed us. That's according to the UN Secretary General. It's as if alcohol makes people behave badly. Deadline Rome, just hours after a Libyan boat fired on an Italian fishing trawler 30 nautical miles off the North African country's coast, Tripoli formally apologized to Rome for the incident. Talking to reporters, Italian Interior Minister Roberto Maroni said that what happened last Sunday evening should not have happened, but he added Libya had sincerely apologized for it. He thought Libyans must have mistaken the trawler for a boat carrying illegal immigrants. That illegal immigrants thing, it's getting around. Sears, remember them? They've pulled a T-shirt with the word gotcha emblazoned over a photo of the World Trade Center's Twin Towers off the market and apologized for the oversight of putting them on sale. Quote, we began removing this T-shirt from stores last week when the image was brought to our attention, a Sears spokeswoman said. This week, we apologize for the oversight. The shirt has gotcha over a photo of the towers. That's an oversight. A spokesman for Gotcha, which happens to be an Irvine, California-based surfer apparel company, issued this statement, quote, we deeply regret that one of our products has upset consumers. We are very sensitive to our customers' concerns and are working diligently to remove the product from stores nationwide, unquote. I rarely make this recommendation, officials of Gotcha, but two-word recommendation. Focus groups. Deadline, Miami Gardens, Florida. Pete Rose at a roast in Lawrenceburg, Indiana, for his former teammate. No, sorry, for himself, Pete Rose. Tony Perez in Miami Gardens said Rose at that dinner talked about how he disrespected the game. He told everybody, he apologized to everybody, to us, to the fans, to baseball. He was very emotional. He got me, too. I didn't think he was going to do it that way. Perez, who now works for the Marlins in Florida, was part of the celebration in Cincinnati commemorating the 25th anniversary of Rose's record-breaking 44,192nd hit. Rose is barred from entering the Hall of Fame after gambling on games. He cried, Perez said about Rose's apology. I've seen him cry when he hugged his son when he broke the record, but I've never seen him like this. The room was packed. He got up there, he said a few words, and then he said, now I'm going to get serious. At the banquet, Rose apologized to his former teammates, including Johnny Bench, Joe Morgan, and Davey Concepcion, who were not in attendance. He then apologized directly to Perez, who was seated to his right. How about that? He went to his right. Pope Benedict XVI returned to the issue of sex abuse by Roman Catholic priests, saying their crimes were unspeakable and that the entire Roman Catholic Church felt shame and humiliation in his address at the most solemn Catholic service of his four-day visit in Westminster Cathedral. He spoke of the sufferings of all those individual Christians who daily unite their sacrifices to those of the Lord for the sanctification of the Church and the redemption of the world. He added, here, too, I think of the immense suffering caused by the abuse of children, especially within the Church and by her ministers. Above all, I express my deep sorrow to the innocent victims of these unspeakable crimes. I also acknowledge with you the shame and humiliation which all of us have suffered because of these sins. That's it. Okay. Pope's apology. Now, here's proof that Americans really, like the British think, the Americans really don't get irony. This is a statement from the Student Affairs Office at Calvin College. Not Calvin Coolidge, Calvin College in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Regrettably, Calvin College has decided to rescind its invitation to the band The New Pornographers, slated to perform in the Fieldhouse Complex on campus. We believe that the decision to invite the band fit our rubric of engaging culture through a Christian lens. The band makes good, thoughtful music, and we invited them here based on their artistic merit. However, after weeks of discussion and consideration, the irony of the band's name was impossible to explain to many. The band's name, to some, is mistakenly associated with pornography. The band's name, ladies and gentlemen, The New Pornographers. Consequently, Calvin, to some, was mistakenly associated with pornography. Neither the college nor the band endorses pornography. The Student Activities Office regrets the way this has happened. We regret the message we have sent to the band and their fans and any confusion this has caused generally. We have been in contact with the band to explain this regret and the breakdown in our own processes that led us to first invite them and then withdraw the invitation. Calvin College remains committed to the difficult yet important work at faithfully engaging popular culture. Unquote. Deadline, Pennsylvania, Governor Ed Rendell says he is appalled that the state's Office of Homeland Security, unbeknownst to him, has been compiling and circulating information about protesters at peaceful gatherings. A visibly angry Rendell called the practice absolutely ludicrous.
Let me make this as clear as I can make it. Protesting against an idea, principle, or process is not a real threat against infrastructure,
he said at a news conference.
Protesting is a God-given American right.
The governor said he only recently learned that the state Homeland Security Office had been paying a Pennsylvania firm to compile lists of rallies, which were then passed to law enforcement agencies as possible security threats. The contract cost the state $125,000.
Good Lord, and to think we spent $125,000 on this at a time when every penny is dire for us is a further embarrassment, he said.
Among the rallies that were mentioned in the lists, a candlelight vigil against BP, a gay pride festival, and protests against natural gas drilling.
I apologize to the Marcellus shale protesters. I apologize to the taxpayers protesters. I apologize to the lesbian and gay pride festival. I apologize to every single name that was on the list, said Rendell.
He added he will not be disciplining anyone at the Homeland Security Office. What are they, Corps of Engineers? A culture of impunity? That's what we're trying to wipe out in Afghanistan, ladies and gentlemen. We should try it here. Washington Redskins star Clinton Portis has apologized. Oh, please. I'm trying to care, and I just can't. Deadline Columbus, Ohio, an Ohio Elections Commission complaint against Fairfield County Clerk of Courts Deborah Smalley was dismissed after she presented a written apology to a former employee who filed the complaint. The employee, Judy Irish, accused Smalley of requiring employees to provide financial contributions to her re-election campaign 4 years ago, saying their jobs were threatened if they didn't. Smalley gave Irish a letter of apology in which she admitted asking them to contribute to her campaign, and then the Elections Commission dismissed the complaint. The entire text of the letter, quote, in July 2006, I asked Judy Irish and some other employees for $200 campaign contributions. I apologize to all involved, unquote. See? Brevity. Babe, that's it. That's what you got to do. Irish Prime Minister Brian Cowen has apologized for his early morning radio interview in which he was accused of being either drunk or badly hungover. Well, I'm sorry that it emerged in the quality that it did, and as I say, there was a hoarseness in my voice throughout the day yesterday, but it doesn't take away from the fact that it wasn't my best performance, and I would like to apologize for that. If people were to take from it that there was any suggestion of disrespect or casualness on my part, that wasn't the case. That's after Foreign Minister Michael Martin said the incident was bad and lessons need to be learned from it. Really? You think alcohol causes bad? I don't know. I just don't know. A Japanese primary school teacher has been reprimanded for giving his pupils a math problem in which he asked how long it would take to kill 18 children at the rate of 3 murders a day. He apologized for giving the quiz to his pupils. I did it carelessly. I deeply reflect on my conduct, he said. And mixed martial art lightweight Donald Cowboy Cerrone has apologized for saying he hopes his upcoming opponent, quote, is the first death in mixed martial arts. The apologies of the week, ladies and gentlemen, a copyrighted feature of this broadcast.
I love to watch the moonlight with arms about you. And right from the start, there's love in my heart. The sunny afternoon light I know wouldn't do. So darling, please don't run out on my heart tonight. I love to watch the moonlight long after the dance. Come over the hill, I get such a thrill. With you a March or June night is good for romance. Let's put our lips together, give romance a chance. Love can be so intense. I touch your hand and feel my heart grow immense. Your lips I adore, but that's because I love you just a bit more than others before. A sentimental tune might be thrilling to sing while watching the stars, especially ours. Your eyes are filled with moonlight, my heart's filled with spring. I love to watch the moonlight, so to thee I cling. So darling, please don't run out on my heart tonight. Let's put our lips together, give romance a chance. So to thee I cling. Love can be so intense. I touch your hand and feel my heart grow immense. Your lips I adore, but that's because I love you just a bit more than others before. A sentimental tune might be thrilling to sing while watching the stars, especially ours. Your eyes are filled with moonlight, my heart's filled with spring. I love to watch the moonlight, so to thee I cling. Your eyes are filled with moonlight, and my heart is filled with spring. I love to watch the moonlight, so to thee I cling.
This is the show, and it's, of course, a big news weekend, which is why all of the normal news anchors and news reporters are off on the weekend, because news never happens this time of week. Anyway, the Pope is in the final stages of his trip to the United Kingdom, a historic visit. Hasn't been there for 500 years. Well, he's not that old, but you know what I mean. And we put out a call yesterday on our British. We have a lot of British listeners, as it turns out, online. We put out a call on our British social network account, Matebook, to see if anybody had attended the Pope's appearance in Hyde Park on Saturday afternoon. And sure enough, we have one of them on our newsmaker line right now. So welcome to the show, Barry from Watford, which is just outside of London, right?
Hello, Heather. This is just the outskirts of London. And we have been to see the Pope, and jolly well, Popish and Catholic he was too.
Mm. Do you have a family member you took with you? Do you go alone? How did you? Because you're fairly, as I recall from our previous, you have called here before, correct?
Yeah, that's right. I took my young grandson, Jack.
What's his name?
Jack.
Jack. And how old is young Jack?
Well, Jack is only eight. I don't know whether he enjoyed it really. I hadn't been entirely truthful about what we was going to see, you know. I said it was Benedict 16. He thought it was like a sort of movie sequel, like Police Academy, you know.
Yeah.
I think the plot's getting a bit far-fetched now. He said, well, Benedict's 1 to 15, just as boring.
Mm.
No, he said it was all right, but he preferred Chipmunks to Squeakquel.
Really?
The only embarrassing, awkward thing was he got up close to the Pope mobile.
Mm-hmm.
The Pope opened the window. My lad says, "I'll have a chocolate sundae and a Zoom ice lolly, please." You know, awkward.
Really, really wasn't well briefed then.
Well, no, but the kids are not. You know, they're not going to enjoy it all that much, really.
Mm. Yeah.
But, you know, we come away with some lovely stuff and some very tasteful memorabilia. A few knickknacks that I brought my boy. We got a lovely, I'm speaking to you now on the Pope Mobile Mobile.
Ah.
It's in the shape of the Pope Mobile.
Really?
The ringtone is Ave Maria.
Yeah.
It's very tasteful, something to remember the day.
Yeah, that's a beautiful touch and probably well needed right now, given the problems with the church's coffers. Barry, was it crowded?
Yes, it was crowded. It was very crowded, and I feel sorry because there's been all this talk about, oh, no, the Pope, oh, no one's bought tickets.
Mm-hmm.
You can barely move for people. You know, I mean, you know, there was all the, you know, oh, he hasn't sold enough ticket sales, no one wants to go and see it. I feel sorry for him. It's not as if he can change his act, is it?
Well, yeah.
To bring him, you know, and now the Pope will do a bit of fire eating.
No.
You know?
Yeah.
Here's the Pope on a unicycle doing a bit of a ventriloquist act.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. So tell me what you saw. Tell me what the event was like.
Well, it was a lovely do. I mean, I'll be honest. I was a little bit disappointed that Susan Boyle wasn't there. There was indeed His Holiness, God's representative, head of the Roman Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
But there was no sign of the winner of Britain's Got Talent, Susan Boyle.
What, had she been promised, or had she been with the Pope previously, or why did you expect?
Well, famously, she was the support act up in Scotland.
Ah.
There was the reality show Chanteuse,
uh-huh,
on first.
Yes.
And then Subo done a tight 20 minutes,
uh-huh,
brought the house down.
Good.
Then the Pope comes on as the headline act. It was like sort of big singer, bigger singer, rat singer.
Rat singer.
That's how they do.
Got it.
No sign of Subo.
Mm.
You know, the thing is, what I will say, say about him. He put on a good show down there. And the lovely thing was he'd done all his old material.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing worse than you go and see a top act on stage and they say, and now here's my new experimental stuff. Oh, my God, you know. You don't want to go and see the Stones. You know, you want Jumping Jack Flash, Brown Sugar. Your heart would sink if Mick said, and now is my new acoustic stuff inspired by birdwatching or something. Yeah, the same is true of the Pope. He'd done all the old material we love so much, defending Christianity, threat to Christmas, the family, Jesus, Mary, etc. The only new material we'd done was a lovely short set when he had a go at paedophile priests, which that was fairly new material, long overdue, I thought.
Did Jack twig to that material at all?
Did he do what?
Did he twig? That's a Britishism, isn't it? Twig to that material. Did he like that material?
You didn't use the idiom properly, but we'll let that go.
All right.
No, Jack likes it. The thing is, you know, I feel sorry, but there's been some criticism that he didn't kiss the ground when he got to Scotland, when he flew in. But would you? I mean, up there, anything that's immobile for 5 seconds or more, they'll beat fat for you.
Well,
you know what the jocks are like. You know, we want to give you a really warm welcome, Your Holiness, just as soon as we battered you in egg and flour and added a bit of salt.
Oh, no, come on.
You know, I mean, apparently, this is why the Pope was so desperate to get out of Glasgow and down to London, the Pope mobile was nicked for going 85 mile an hour just outside Birmingham.
Oh, no.
I mean, kiss the ground. I bet he did when he got down to Old Blighty.
Yeah.
Apparently, he said, I'll even take a chance with George Michael driving if it means getting down the motorway.
Barry, you are full of pop culture references. Now, have you ever seen a Stones concert, actually?
A Stones concert?
Yes, a Rolling Stones concert.
No, do me a favor. I saw Tupac. I've seen Biggie Smalls.
Oh, wow.
Pinchy Strider. Yeah.
All right. So you're right in with it.
I'm right in with it. I'm banging, you know. I don't know what that means, but I am certainly banging. No, but, you know, I like a lot of popular entertainment. I go and see, you know, bands. I go and see comedy. You know, I had tickets to go and see Jackie Mason. I wet myself, so I missed that, unfortunately.
No, that's too bad. Well, these things happen. Let's get back to the Pope. Everything was up to snuff for you then?
Well, I did enjoy it. I do take my hat off to him, really, because I don't know whether it's been covered up there, but it's been a lot of talk of where they've stayed in Wimbledon.
Ah, really?
Do you have it up there called a bed and breakfast?
Sure, sure.
It's like a cheap motel.
Yes, yes. That's where he stayed?
Yeah, he's staying in a very humble place. Good luck to him. But honestly, you know, apparently he's complaining there's no hot chocolate sachets in the bedroom. Is that to check out by 9 a.m. shared bathroom.
Ooh.
You know?
Yeah.
It's outrageous. No, but we did enjoy it, and we've come away with, I bought my grandson a T-shirt. It says, my granddad went to London to see the Pope, and all it brought me back was this lousy horsehair T-shirt and a huge amount of guilt. So that's something to remember the day by.
Lovely souvenir. Now, do you remember anything else about the Pope's remarks? Anything notable?
Anything else he said that was notable? No, only just at the end he said, well, thanks for coming. There is a few hot dogs left, and, you know, it's all got to go. It's all got to be eaten up. Take care on the way home. Thank you very much. Good night!
So,
like that.
Yeah, so big finish.
Like James Brown.
Big finish, in other words.
He done a big finish. He slid onto his knees with the mic up in there, a bit like Freddie Mercury.
Yeah.
It was all dry ice. I say that it was incense more, really.
Yeah, there probably
and
wasn't.
And then all the lights went down, and I went Pope. He come back on. He says, "No, I've got to go."
Wow.
And then he did.
Yeah. Probably wasn't any dry ice in the house. Barry, to a probably a more ethereal question, did seeing the Pope change you spiritually at all?
No, I think if I'd seen Susan Boyle, that would have done something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I think it's nice to see a big celebrity, isn't it?
Sure.
You know,
yeah.
We saw Tom Jones at Wembley Arena last year.
Mm.
And whilst the Pope is good, you know, why Delilah he didn't do, and Jones is a master. I'm not saying he's got a hotline for God like the Pope,
right.
But he's very, very good.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, and also no one threw their pants at the Pope.
You know, I was you know. Going to ask about that. Well, Barry, it sounds like you had a wonderful day out, and did you and Jack have a good conversation about it on the way home? Did he ask you anything?
Yes, we did. He turned to me, his eyes were brimming with tears, and he said, "Granddad," and I looked at him, I said, "Yes, son." He said, "Don't do that again. I'd rather go to Chelsea next week if they're at home," you know, which is fair enough.
Football, yeah, sure, the kids. Barry, let me ask you one more question. The Pope, in his remarks, really attacked the culture of secularism in Europe and Great Britain today, didn't he?
Yes, yes.
Do you partake of that culture, or are you a religious person? How do you stand on that?
Look, let me tell you something. Every Christmas, you know, you'll get a religious leader up there, and he'll be saying, "Look, never mind the presents, never mind the television or the stuff in your face with food. Let's remember the true spirit of Christmas."
Right.
There's always that sort of killjoy, isn't there?
Yeah.
It's like, butt out.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Barry from Watford, thank you for sharing your personal perspective on the Pope's visit to London. And good luck to you, and all our best to your grandson, Jack.
Well, thank you very much. And as the Pope said just before he left the stage, thank you very much, Hyde Park. Good night.
Yeah, good night to Barry from Watford, England, on the Newsmaker line. And the show continues.
Daisy.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's interesting to note that one of the predictions of chaos that actually turned out to be true was in New York City's primary election this past week, connected to the debut of the state's new electronic voting machines, costing $160 million. Some polling places opened as much as 4 hours late. Thousands may have been able to unable to cast ballots. And they found that the paper ballots, which are fed into the machines to be read and tabulated, some of the paper had glue on the back. Nice work, everybody. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to conclude this week's edition of the show. The program returns next week at the same time over these same stations over NPR, worldwide throughout Europe, the USN 440 cable system in Japan, around the world through facilities of the American Forces Network, up and down the east coast of North America via the shortwave giant WBCQ, the planet, on the mighty 104 in Berlin, around the world via the internet at two different locations, live and archived whenever you want at harryshear.com and kcrw.com, available on your smartphone through stitcher.com, and available as a free podcast at kcrw.com. And it'd be just like all things actually being considered if you'd agree to join with me then. All right, would you? Already. Thank you very much. A typical show chapeau to the San Diego, Pittsburgh, Chicago in exile, and Hawaii desks. And thanks, as always, to Pam Halstead. The show is on Twitter at The Harry Shearer. And for information on The Big Easy, TheBigEasy.com. Big Uneasy. Did I say? TheBigUneasy.com. The show comes to you from Century of Progress Productions and originates through the facilities of KCRW Santa Monica. Can alcohol make people act funny? Apparently, I hope so. A community recognized around the world as the home of the homeless.